June the 1st, 2018. Man, I can't believe I'm saying that, but I am. In the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America. We got a crazy president, but this is still the United States of America, at least in the space that I'm in. So I want to celebrate a little bit, but I want to do it in folkish style so y'all can get my drift. Come on, help me out here. Here we go. Yeah, I like that. Come on now. Listen. Yeah. Everything is balanced, it's good. What they talking about? Listen.
Took me a while, but I'm finally here. So I just wanna testify, make it crystal clear. See, I've been picked out to be picked on.
Yeah.
Talked about out my brain mouth, I've been beat down. Till you turn my life around.
Sing it, boy. Thank you for coming to my website today. Thank you for it's just everything. Thank you for being alive. Thank you for being there. Thank you for being able to be thankful. I mean, what a beautiful day in Los Angeles today. Just beautiful. Friday, June the 1st, 2018. I don't know what you have planned for today, but I don't have anything planned for today. Just to do the webcast and put it up. I think I have a very good study for you coming up. Let me see what it's called again so I can refresh my mind here. This was Listen to Hardcore. Even Hardcore is active today. Goofing up my webcast, messing with the dogs next door. That's Hardcore. He's right on time. Relating to God, taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 in the Old Testament. And this was given way back in January the 18th, 1987. So we're going to see how we relate to God way back in the day. But before we do that, I want to take a little time and because I'm still grieving my friend Donald Ross, who passed away, as a matter of fact, a week ago today. Tonight around midnight or a little after midnight, it'll be a week that he's absent from his body. And there's always family confusion when these difficult times come. So for those of you that went to church with Don at the vet and remember him, Don passed away on last Friday night. And many of you didn't know. Now you do know. Hardcore! Stop it! He's just making a mess out there. He knows better than that. Making all that noise, I can barely get a webcast done. Somebody should say, well, you should get a soundproof studio. Well, I tell you what I'll do. I'll play some more music right now, and we won't have Hardcore to deal with. Let me play one more song, and then let's get right into the study. Let's get right into the study, and then I'll be able to turn my other mic down and take care of some business, and then I'll play a song for you after the fact. Now, we're going way back to 1987, the way it sounded back in the day. And so, let's, just like you're entering in for the first time listening to me in 1987, this is what I was saying and doing. Let's see if I've changed.
Hello, this is Pastor Coleman here at the Olivet Baptist Church on January the 18th, 1987. Sunday evening service, I preached a sermon entitled Relating to God, a continued lesson in our series for growing saints, taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Yep. You're going to hear me read all of the verses up to this point, so let's get right into this dynamic Bible lesson, and a dynamic lesson that'll help you to grow as a saint in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow.
God bless you.
I'm excited about it. I hope you are. I'll be back later.
Now I know what the psalmist meant when he said, I was happy when they say, let us go into the house of the Lord. I don't understand. I don't understand. Hello, Liz. Amen. Kick that flu in the face. That's all right, girl. Keep that up. Yeah, the psalmist was, you know, David had to be a happy man. Before I even get into the prayer for the scripture tonight, I'm going to give you a little homework. There's a part of scripture where David got so happy when he went into the tabernacle that he got to dancing around and jumping up and down, that he got beside himself and tore his clothes off and was dancing around in his birthday suit. Now, if you can find that part of the scripture, that'd be real good homework for you. Now, I'm not saying that we're starting a new cult practice here that we want to do that, but that man was so happy, and they thought he was crazy, but he really did that. So when you research that in your Bible this week and find when he got beside himself and just stripped off his royal robe and danced around in the natural, Amen. King David. King David. All right, Alvin's going to do the research. He's going to find it. He's going to find it. But here we are back again tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, amen. We love you, Lord, and we're back again to open up the word. And Father, we thank you for speaking to our hearts today. We ask that you would continue this day's service by speaking to us again tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your gifts. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your comfort and concern on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for being a father unto us, a father indeed, one that looks out and cares for us. We thank you for meeting all of our needs. And we ask, Lord, that you might do this, that any enemy of your cause might be blessed by you. We ask you to offer mercy, and we ask that we also might offer mercy as we continue to witness and expand in evangelism. And Father, lastly, let us know that as we evangelize, that we're not going to make friends, but we are trampling on the enemy's territory. And Lord, we do that with joy. But we, Lord, like the early church of old, ask for power. And if you send an earthquake, shake us up. Lord, if you send victory, we'll take the victory. We ask you to bless our hearts as we continue to evangelize. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You all should know the scripture, right? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9 has been our series of verses of scripture that we've been covering. And as the way we started to do a few weeks ago, I said that in verse 1, which says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it." The name of that sermon was "Pay Attention." God was trying to get his people to pay attention. And in verse 2 we read, "That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all of his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged." Now the name of that sermon was "God's Law, the Rule of Life." Then we read verse 3. "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, in the land that floweth with milk and honey." In verse 3, the name of that sermon was "The Results of Obedience." And in verse 4, we read this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And that was last week, and the name of that sermon was "He is One God." Now that brings us up to verse 5. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." And the name of this short but very important message tonight based on verse 5 is "Relating to God." That's right. You got to pay attention. You got to pay attention to God's law as a rule of life. Once you do that, you're going to see the results of being obedient. Once you're obedient, you're going to understand that he is one Lord. Therefore, now we have to relate to God. How do I relate to God? All of this we can see the Lord giving his children instruction, and he gives us instruction also. I guess you can call Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you wanted to, you can call it "Remembering God Every Day." But in these lessons for growing saints, we're going to continue in our study and just take a glimpse in what it means to relate to God as found in verse 5. Look. I don't care how long you've been in church, how long you've been ministering in any particular job that you've been ministering in the church, it is not enough to retain an intellectual relationship with God. That's not enough. You've got to relate with him in a personal way. He's got to know you personal. I ask you again, for those of you that are Christians, pray for James and Naomi. They're going to need strong, powerful prayer. The enemy wants to destroy them, especially James. I'm going to tell you, I was telling my wife and Johnny, the outline that I had for the sermon, forget it. I should not have even printed it because I couldn't get into it. The Lord, while I was sitting there, I don't know whether you recognize it, the Lord changed it. He says, "No, don't. You can't do it. You can't do it." I've never had that in my entire life happen to me where the whole thing was rearranged and changed. And it was for the purpose of addressing some very important issues in our church. Again, secondly, I want to commend you men again for acting in a very appropriate manner. Be ready to respond in ways like that to protect the household of faith. We spoke about that Tuesday night, didn't we? And we had to go through with a little bit of that today. Amen. But do it in the Christian spirit of love and warmness, not in an aggressive spirit. So let's see. Let's get back to this. You can't just retain an intellectual relationship with God and relate to Him. It's got to be more than the intellect. There must be on the part of every lover of God an intense relationship by means of an action on your part. Our verse said this, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." That shows an intense relationship. All of you. They have a movie called All of Me, right? Now, is that All of Me or something? I don't know. Anyhow, you've got to give all of your whole self to God. And in that way, you can relate to Him. And that's what we're going to talk about. So the first part of this very short message, as found in verse 5, is that there is a duty. What is the duty of relating to God? How do I relate to God? You have to see it as a duty. It is an astute duty that you have as a believer to relate to Him. All right. It says in the first part of that verse, to love the Lord thy God. Now, a love relationship is a duty relationship that's binding. It's binding upon you to love Him. If you don't love God, you can't relate to Him. What's interesting in the dialogue of the piece of material, Johnny, that we were reading, in the letter it kept saying, we love you, we love you, we love you. But if you love somebody, you relate to them in a relationship of love and not in an estranged way, in the very same sense. This duty of loving God is never a burden. It is never a burden to love God. That's why God told Moses to tell the Jews, listen to me, Moses, tell them that thou shalt love the Lord thy God. It is never a burden to love God because He loved us. Not that we loved Him, but that He first loved us. It is an easy task to love someone that blesses you. It's a difficult task for me to love someone that's hurting me, that's harming me, that doesn't have my best welfare in mind. So it's a duty. This duty is quite rewarding only when it's carried out. This duty of loving God, you will only reap the rewards after you carry it out. You might say, well, John, I love God. Do you really love Him? How do you show you love God? You show you love Him by obeying Him. Then He rewards you. Some people say, okay, God, I'm going to perform the duty of saying I love you. And as soon as they do that, they expect God to open up all the doors from the windows of heaven and bless. I'm telling you that what you've got to do is you've got to say, Lord, it's not only my duty, it is my intent, it is my total motive in life to love you, irregardless of what you do. And then you say, you promised, Lord, to open the doors, but you didn't say how wide nor when. I believe you promised to open the doors. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stand in front of the door and wait for it to open. Now, when you do that, as a duty of love to God, you don't have your hand on the knob trying to help Him out. Let Him do it in His own time. This duty can only come from men to God, because God uses our parts, not animal parts. This duty of love to Him can only come from men. Men and women, boys and girls, are the only people, things, capable of having a duty of love to God. That table cannot love God. The carpet cannot offer Him praises. The lectern here cannot do anything in and of itself. You can. You can take Him or reject Him. And that's what the duty of love is. First, this duty comes from the heart, and then the duty is seen through the deed. Let's regress a little bit. Let's go back a few hours earlier when I laid this letter on you. That duty came from the heart, and the deed was disastrous. It could not be that of love. It had to be that of destruction. It is not from God. Whatever comes from God is always pure and always good and always shows the benefit for each party that it's involved with. Don't you ever forget that in your Christian experience. Remember that scripture that I quoted today? It says that you're going to have to give an account for every idle word and deed said and done. Everything, you're going to have to give an account to that. We must first be right, and then we'll do right. You see, when love works on you, then you feel a dutiful attempt upon your part to do right, because rightness has been done in your heart. So we see in verse 5 the duty to love the Lord thy God. Second, we see the means. How do I love the Lord my God? Moses tells us, with all thine heart. You can't do the duty without having the means to do it. And as God spoke to his children in Deuteronomy chapter 6, telling them to remember God every day in their experience, he's saying, you've got a duty to me now, as my children, to love me. How do I do it? With your whole heart, all of it. Listen, you know what the heart does? The heart is a strange thing in the human makeup because it conquers. Your heart can conquer anything. When any problems come in your life, if you have a heart totally full of God's love and with the intent of God's good purpose, you can conquer anything. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ said through the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He had to have a heart that was changed and rearranged to do that. By the means of the heart, God is saying, give me your heart and I'll show you how you can get it done. You can't get anything done unless God has your heart. See, he's saying, after you give me your heart, then everything is well. People have problems, perplexities. They don't know how to figure out certain situations. God is saying, it's all right. Give me your heart and I'll take care of all of your situations. I'll give you peace that you never could find. That's why, you know, I love speaking with the young man. I love speaking with James. I'm saying, James, listen to me, brother. You were trying to find peace in that stuff, and all that stuff did was broke you up in pieces. God wants your heart. That's the means. Now, after we look at the duty of loving God, and by the means through the heart, then we see the method of performing the duty by way of the means. What are you talking about, John? Now you're really confusing me. The method of performing the duty by way of the means is found in the third part of this verse, with all thy soul. Now we see that the heart is involved in being dutiful to God in terms of loving him. And then the method is with all of your soul. Now, when we talk about soul, we aren't just talking about God breathed in Adam and man became a living soul. I'm not talking about that part that ignites life in your body. When I say soul, I'm talking about something. I'm talking about the vital aspects, the rational part of you, the intellectual, all the thoughts that's involved in your total being. God is saying, you ought to love me with all your soul. Everything, Alvin Eddington, that makes you Alvin Eddington, you ought to just love God with all of that. Everything that makes you what you are as a human being is in Christ. That's the method by which you do it, with your whole soul. Heart reaction, and then responding with that vital part of what makes you you. Lord, I give you my heart, then I give you my talent, I give you my gifts, I give you my past, I give you my present. You take care of the future. I'm yours. Just wrap me up and hold me and spin me like a top and set me on my way, and I will go in whatever direction you want me to go in. That's all of your soul. Every part of you. God was telling his children that if you really want to be successful in following me, the only one God, in a world full of paganism, in a world full of false gods, in a world full of all of the wrongest ideas in the world, you have got to give me all of your soul. I'm talking about you're involved. You are involved with God. Everything that you're involved in becomes his involvement. He totally wraps your life up and goes away with it. You are the dynamic part of a two-way interaction relationship. You and God. Andrea, never your mama, and then you and God. No, no, no. Jackie has to do that for her own. It's never the pastor and then the congregation and God. It's the pastor and God, the congregation of the individual members and God. He wants all of your soul, every part of you. God only relates with the soul of man and not with the soul of a beast. Isn't this unique? God doesn't want to have an ongoing relationship with the intellectual ability of a giraffe. He wants to with men that can worship and reason and love him. Now listen, nature by virtue of itself gives praises unto God. Because when the sun comes out and the rose is there and the beams hit it, the petals open up and the rose blooms and opens up unto nature and glorifies God. And another way that you can see that is when you go to the beach and the tide comes in, it continuously beats up against the rocks and goes out. Nature obeys God. Man is the only one that has a will to say no to God. And that's why he says that if you want to relate to me, you have got to give me all of your soul. Lastly, the last part of this sermon tonight, very easy, and it's obvious what the last part of the verse says, and it's called the impact of worship. What is the impact of worship? That thou shalt love the Lord thy God, that's my duty, with all thine heart, that's the means, and with all of thy soul, that's the method of performing the duty by way of the means. And then, now the impact of worship, and with thy might. With all of thy might. Now listen to that. With every bit of energy, Sandra, within you, you are to love God. You are not to let anything stand in your way of loving God. I know it's a difficult thing when things are going just crazy. Crazy. I must share this with you. I must share this with you. Your pastor is not made of stone and brick and iron. Donald was there when I received communication about the letter, and I'm glad God sent him there. He was in my house when phone calls were going back and forth. But Donald, you didn't see what was going on the inside. When you left, you didn't see me 2 days. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. Everything was wrong. Same thing Carlton's wife was going through. See, I knew about it when I spoke with this brother. I didn't tell him because I didn't want him to go through that. Spiritual warfare is going on. Everything is off. Your whole equilibrium, everything is off. See, but I'm telling you, I yet had to worship God with all of my might. I had to say, Lord, if this thing injures us, I've got to worship you with all of my might. And to impact that, as much as I love Johnny Boy, the Lord sends him here too. As much as I love that little rascal, the Lord sends him too in another world sometime. And I'm sitting here and I'm saying, oh Lord, what is, I'm already buffeted with this and now this too. But the Lord says, Johnny, you gonna worship me with all your might? Are you gonna get up there and have a pity prayer? Are you gonna get up there and be full of fear and show that to the congregation? Or are you gonna let me use you? And Lucy can tell you, when I left here, we were going to have dinner, and I made a mistake by taking this jacket off. Body cramps came all through my body. I mean, I'm totally wore out. It's something when you pastor, when you preach, when you minister, and then other things. But God has answered me. He says that the impact, John, of worship is to worship and love me with all of your might. What is the essence of our love towards God? It is a powerful experience with him. Since I've had a powerful experience with him, the rougher hell comes in my life and the rougher it gets, I'm going to get bolder. I see myself getting bolder in him. Look at this verse closer. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. In other words, Moses is saying every part of you is to love God and to be an active force for his cause. And on the last part of it, all the strength that you have is given over into this relationship. Everything. It's an active ongoing, which is seen in our prayer life, in our praise life, in our ministering life. We never say, I give up. You never, Carlton, say, uncle. Never. I don't care how bad it gets. Sonia, you may feel like saying, forget you. Sonia, you should never do that. You stand there and you says, I love you, Lord. Girl, you crazy. No, I'm not. I love it. Well, how can it's crazy. I love you, Lord. And you know what the Lord's going to do? He's going to send some more. He's going to send it. He's going to send it on you. And he says, I want you to worship me with all your might. Do it. And you got to stand there and say, I love you, Lord. I love you. And then after a while, you're going to gain the victory. See? And then you say, Lord, I made it. And the Lord's going to say, right, right. Next week, guess what's going to happen? Trial two. Here it comes. Here it comes another way. Uh-oh. There it comes this way. I love you, Lord. All your might. All your might, he's saying. I'm telling you, you have to have an aggressive faith in Christ. That's what I get out of this verse. I've got to have an aggressive faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As a pastor, I can never be passive. I can never be passive. I can't let things come on me and say, well, I don't know what to say. Oh, God, have mercy on my poor, pitiful soul. Now, I say that in my private prayer life. I'm going to tell you what your so-called strong pastor, what, mighty brick man pastor. I'm out there working. I'm in my car. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm working, and I parked on Westmoreland in Wilshire, and I parked the car, and it was very shady there, and I was alone. Nobody walks down the street at 3 o'clock in the morning but a few. A bag man came down the street and scared me to death while I was praying. I said, oh, Lord, I'm going to have to move the car. He's just talking to himself, and I'm talking to myself. I'm in there saying, oh, Lord, and the bag man came down. I said, look at this, Jesus. But who's craziest? The working preacher or the bag man? But I was saying to God, I says, Lord, listen, why don't you just do this? Since I'm never going to really get my life on the up and up with you, why didn't you just wipe me out and put somebody else there to do that and save your time? I says, Lord, it would be so easy. Get somebody that got the stamina and all, and then as soon as I'm going through this thing, the Lord is saying, didn't I tell you that I never leave you nor forsake you? I said, now why don't you trust me? It's because, Lord, and then I thought about this with all your might. Okay, Lord, I can deal with it. Now, you see, that's what I have to do. That's what you have to do. Don't you think that it's going to come easy for me? No, it doesn't come easy for me. No, 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 no. She can tell you that. It definitely doesn't come easy for me. I remember after this incident first took place, Lucy just came in and said, John, I already prayed about it. It's done. Boom. I said, whoa, okay. That's good. What is the outcome of a mighty experience in Christ when we love the Lord our God with all of our might, as I close this up? What is the outcome of that? That means when we love the Lord our God with all of our might, with an aggressive ongoing prayer life, with an aggressive faith in Christ, with an aggressive, positive, not optimistic, but not pessimistic, but an optimistic vantage point of where you're going in Christ, this is the result. A needing world will visualize the power of God in you. A needy world will visualize the power of God being effective in your life. That's what happens when you're aggressive in Christ. The world needs aggressive saints out there. The world needs to see you go through all your hard times and then get up and say, that was rough, but Jesus, I love you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And they're going to look at you and say, man, you're crazy. You need to go and get high. You need to go and get loaded, man. And you stand up and say, none of these things will bother me, man. I'm going to hang in there for the Lord. See, because life is just a few years, but eternity don't ever end. What else is going to be the outcome of this mighty experience in Christ? A thirst within you will become quenched by the mere virtue of your relationship. When you're spiritually thirsty for God to do something, when you have a vital ongoing Christianity, that thirst is going to be quenched. It's all taken care of. Because when I got through praying, after I prayed the first part of that prayer that night when I went to work, I said, Lord, guess what? Guess what? I'm just an old, weak piece of flesh. Use me. And then I said, now, Lord, let me go to sleep. But I couldn't sleep because the letter was hard on my mind. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. Every time I tried to go to sleep, I said, who did that? I couldn't deal with that. I could not deal with that. I said, whoa, what is this? But amen. What else is going to happen? The true recognition of what God was saying to Moses and his people will dawn on you instantly. Everything that God was saying to the Jews, he is saying to you. As I end up this sermon tonight, we're going to read it again and see if it makes any sense. If it makes any sense, beginning with verse 1. Now listen to this. Now these are the commandments and statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, keep his statutes and his commandments which I command you, not only you, but your son, they boys, they daughters, they mama, they grandmama, they daddy, all of them, all the days that your life might be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe not only to look at it, but to do that thing, that it's going to be well with you. And then you'll increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers have promised you, in the land that floweth with milk and honey, where you're on your way to. Now hear me, my children. God is one God. Now your relationship to him is exactly this, that you shall love him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with spiritual might, go forward. That's all God is saying to us. That's all he's saying to us. If we keep his commandments, if we do all of this, when we get down into the next verse, verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. We're going to see how that takes place next Sunday night. These good lessons for growing saints. Let's pray.
Wow, what a great message. I'm sure that something, whatever happened in the church, was devastating to my heart and soul way back there in 1987. Here it is, 2018. I don't know what it is. There was so much that was going on. But I guess, like the Bible says, we're all overcomers. Now, there's two ways for you to listen to that sermon. And I'm going to ask my friend Ken Medema to use a little philosophical poetry at the end of this webcast to give you the two-way option out. Listen to Ken Medema as he shares with us some very important lessons with his piano and his words.
Well, there's a man I'd really like for you to know. Mr. Simon is his name, folks like him so. He's got friends in all the nicest parts of town. His name is known all around. Every Sunday morning, when the bells begin to ring, Mr. Simon's at the church, it's where he does his thing. Well, he loves to join the lovelies who come to praise the Lord, and he loves to hear the people singing all in one accord. When Mr. Simon prays in church, he's always heard. You know, 'tis every elegantly spoken word. And every time he gets the chance, he prays out loud.
He loves the church.
Well, he loves the church.
And he loves the crowd.
He loves the crowd.
What does he do every Sunday morning?
And every Sunday morning,
when the bells begin to ring, well, Mr. Simon's at the church. That's where he does his thing. Well, he loves to join the lovelies as they come to praise the Lord. And he loves to hear the people singing all in one accord. Keep listening.
While Mr. Simon's uttering his pious prayers,
pious prayers,
there's one who sits in back who seems quite unaware.
What's he doing?
You see him kneeling and you hear him softly cry.
What is he saying to God?
Lord, I'm no good at all.
Lord,
have mercy on me. Lord, I have sinned against you.
Lord,
have mercy on me. Well, Simon, did you see that man in church today? Kneeling, weeping in a most peculiar way. Yes, I hear his reputation's not so fine. I'm glad his reputation isn't mine.
Simon.
Well, every Sunday morning, when the bells begin to ring, Mr. Simon's at the church. It's where he does his thing. And he loves to join the loveless who come to praise the Lord. And he loves to hear the people singing all in one accord. Two men walked into the church upon that Sunday morn.
One
left slightly wrinkled.
The other
left reborn.
Two men walked into the church on Sunday morning. One left slightly wrinkled. The other one left reborn. That's the way it is all the time. You got two kind of people to go to church. The real one and the fake one. The real preacher, the fake preacher. That's why I believe if you're going to get in contact with God, get in touch with Him alone. You don't have to go to church to do that. Just causes confusion. I forget what the confusion was back in 1987 when I did that Sunday night lecture, but whatever it was, it was not worthy of my attention, I'm sure. Thank you for coming to my website. Thank you for listening to these old lectures. And I think that it gives you, for those of you that are young ministers, you can go through the Old Testament and teach from that old Hebrewish Bible and get so many of today's lessons in life that can assist you. Well, God bless you. I hope that you gained something of 41 minutes, and that'll do it on this webcast today. You know the drill. Stay in the Word. This is PJ. Be back soon with more archive material and fresh updates.